Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The epistle lesson for today is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 7th chapter. It also forms the basis for our meditation today. St. Paul writes, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." This is the word of the Lord. Your friends in Christ Jesus, Ernesto Gonzalez, worked on a large dairy farm in Arizona, of all places. I guess they drink milk and eat ice cream and cheese in Arizona, too. It was a big dairy farm, had over 300 head of cows that they milked. And one of his jobs was, once a week, he had to go into the slurry house to check on the equipment. Do you know what a slurry house is? Or a slurry pit? For you non-farmers, let me put it in language you will understand. Liquid manure. On a dairy farm with 300 cows, there's a lot of cow exhaust. And that cow exhaust gets pushed into a trench, and a conveyor carries it into a slurry pit where it is stored and kept until it can be taken out and put into the fields. Usually it's plowed into the fields as fertilizer. So that slurry pit was in a building, sort of a beehive-looking outfit, and there was an agitator in that pit that stirred this brew around. And it was Ernesto's job once a week to go in there and check all the equipment, make sure everything was working, and so on. So it was time to do that. So he turned on the ventilation fans to get all the methane out of there. And after about 15 minutes, it was safe to go into the building. And as he was checking things out, he saw that around that agitator shaft, a length of rope somehow had gotten into the slurry pit. And of course, that rope was wrapped around that agitator. And he was afraid that it would wind itself in and make a mess of things. And so he realized he'd get that rope off of there. So there's a catwalk that goes out over the slurry pit to where that agitator's motor was. And so he walked across the catwalk. He turned off the agitator. And now he got busy trying to get that rope off that agitator shaft. You know where I'm going, don't you? He slipped and he fell into that slurry pit. Now the problem is that slurry pit was about 9 feet deep. So he can't touch bottom. So he came to the surface, and the only place that he could find refuge was to stand on the fins of that agitator. And he stood on the fin of the agitator and hung on to the shaft. He was here in that slurry. Oh, yeah. So we could safely say that Ernesto was in deep doo-doo, right? He was literally in deep doo-doo. And what's more, we're going to leave Ernesto there for a while. We'll get back to his story. But I couldn't help but think of that story because our epistle lesson today is what I fondly call St. Paul's doo-doo section. Did you notice there were a lot of the word do and does in there? I counted 22 times in our lesson today does he use the word do or does. St. Paul says, I don't know what I do, because the good that I want to do is not what I do, but the evil I don't want to do is what I do. So if I do what I don't want to do, it is not me who does it. See, it's a nice tongue twister. But he's also teaching something very important about our spiritual life and health. So he starts out by saying, I want to do good. Got to understand who he's talking to. He's not talking to the atheist here. He's not talking to the pagan. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to evildoers. He is talking to you and me. All converted, convicted, committed Christians. He's talking to you and me, the family of God. And he says, we know what God's will is, right? How many of you have studied the Ten Commandments at some point in your life? Raise your hand. I bet a lot of you could help, and if we did it together, we'd come up with all 10 of them. We know what God wants. And in many ways, we have a sense of what God's will is. And, St. Paul says, and when I think about God's law, I call it good. He says, in my inner self, I delight in God's law. I know that God's will is good and perfect and righteous, and I attest to that. I, as a Christian, say that's the way I should live. In fact, not only that, but we say that's how I'm going to live. And we say that on a regular basis, don't we? I'm thinking that you're like me. Every so often we get into bed at night, we're going to say our prayers, and we reflect back over the day, and we have to admit, I did not do a very good job of looking like Jesus today in a couple of places especially. And then we make a promise to ourselves. Tomorrow it's going to be different. I'm going to do a better job tomorrow. I'm going to be more patient, more kind, more loving, more whatever. And we mean it. We know and love the Lord Jesus, and we want to do His will. It is the way Christians should be. And I make up my mind, and I'm going to walk in His ways, and I'm going to do it right. Doesn't always work that way, does it? All too often, the very next night, when I lay my head down and I reflect on the day, I find I have to confess again to the Lord, Lord, I blew it more times than I want to remember. So what does St. Paul say? He says, hey, God's will is good, and in my inner self, I delight in it. But I see this law at work. Whenever I want to do good, evil is right there with me. It's like that pet dog that follows you all over the house. I'm going to do the good thing, but evil's right there. Or it's like the cartoons, right? Got the devil sitting on this side. Got the angel sitting on this side. They're both trying to... Yeah, that's a good way to picture it, because that's what St. Paul says. He says, I want to do good. Evil's right there with me. We want to do the right thing, and yet sometimes we make a mess of it anyway. I can remember when I was a fourth grade teacher in Ellisville, Missouri, my first call. I was fourth grade teacher. Larry Becker was the fifth grade teacher. So one day, I walked by his classroom and went down into the science closet. And I was in that science closet a little bit, getting some stuff together to do a science experiment. And as I came walking past Mr. Becker's classroom, I hear commotion in there. And as I get by the door, I look in there and I see five or six fifth graders goofing around and running around the classroom. So I stuck my head in there and looked, and Mr. Becker wasn't in there. They, of course, see me, and they immediately sit down, and they're little angels again. So I just said to him, I said, did Mr. Becker tell you that you could get up and run around and make noise while he wasn't in the room? No. I said, well, then, you know, stay in your seats, be quiet till he gets back. And then let Mr. Becker know that I, you know, these guys have been goofing around. I went up and I wrote on the board, fifth graders need to learn to stay in their seats. Didn't mean anything by it other than I wanted him to know that I saw them goof around. So I went back to my classroom and just started teaching a lesson. All of a sudden, the door flies open and there's Larry Becker, and he says, I want to see you in the hall right now. Okay, so went out there. He said, close the door so the kids don't hear. I closed the door, and then in a very loud voice that all the fourth graders could hear anyway, he proceeded to tell me that he didn't appreciate me telling him how to take care of my classroom. He had 20-some years of teaching, and he didn't need a young upstart like me to tell him how to do it. And I realized that what I had written on the board was something that had offended him, even though I had no intention. I was not making a comment about his management of the classroom. I simply wanted to let him know that the kids had been goofing around. Took a couple weeks for me and Larry to get back on a level. I wanted to do the good thing, but evil was right there with me and made a mess of it. Don't we do that all the time? Happens all too often. I intend to do the very good thing. And the sad thing is that even the good works that we do, especially the ones we're aware of, we manage to sully with our sinfulness. What I mean is, if I do something good for somebody and I know that it was a good thing, there's always a tendency to go, good boy, Bruce, that was a good thing you did. And I give myself credit, if nothing else. And then there's always that better, the bigger temptation is, well, I want Joe to see that I did a good thing for her, you know? So that, and when we do that, we just sully it up. What does the Old Testament say? Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Our sin touches and taints all those things. Probably the only really good works that we do are the ones we're not aware of, because we can't mess those up. We have good intentions. You know what they say about those, right? Good intentions pave the way to perdition. We all have good intentions. I'll run into somebody I admire. Haven't seen them in church in 5-6 months. And as soon as they see me, they get the sheepish look on their face and go, "Hi, Pastor. Yeah, you know, I haven't been in church for a while, but we're going to be back there. We're going to come back." And they might even be back the very next week or 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, there's 3-4 months go by again. You know how this is. You make up your mind you're going to read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Then you make it to as far as Chronicles, and you go, and you set the book down there, and it sits on your nightstand for 5 months. Gets dusty. Or you make up your mind that you're going to have a more active prayer life, and for a while you do. But then, you know, you're busy, you're tired, the kids are back in school, and all of a sudden your head hits the pillow, and you're gone. It's always like that. We want to do what is right by God, but we can't carry it out. And because we can't carry it out, we also tend to carry this guilt in us that says, I'm not being good enough to Jesus. I've got to do better. And there's the rub. Because what St. Paul's saying is, if you think you can, by your doing, please God, make yourself right, earn your keep, earn your way in, he said, you're fooling yourself. What is his final analysis? He looks at all of this. He's laying out all this law. He says, I want to do good, but evil's right there. And I don't do the good that I want to do. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I do. So his final analysis is, wretched man that I am. Wretched. Wretched man. I cannot be the perfect person that the law says I must be. He starts out by saying, I am sold to sin. If you're sold to something, you're the slave of it, right? He says, I am sold as a slave to sin. I'm bound to it. I'm incapable of the righteousness that the scriptures require of me. And I am imperfect before a perfect law and a perfect God. And he says, I am a wretched man because I am in deep doo-doo. If I think by my doing, see, that's the religion of the world. That's what all the other systems of religion teach, that by what you do, you will make your way to God or to godliness or to whatever it is, but you got to do it. That's how you get your way there. The Jehovah Witness that comes to your door is doing, because that's the part of the system that he's under. He's doing it. The Mormon that shows up at your door, he's doing it because that's what's required. You have to do things. You turn on that evangelist at 3 a.m. because you can't sleep. You're going to hear him say all the things you got to do. If you just do the right things, God will pour out blessing on you. That is paganism from start to finish. St. Paul says, if you go that way, you are in deep doo-doo. Well, that reminds me, we left Ernesto in deep doo-doo, didn't we? That poor man, he's in there up to here. He can't climb up the shaft because everything's slippery. He's yelling, but he's in a domed building with big ventilation fans going. Nobody hears him. All he can do is sit there and wait. Wait to be rescued. And thanks be to God. Now, Ernesto worked the day shift, so he milked cows in the morning and then did chores. He was done at 4 o'clock. Two other guys were on that same shift. This is a big dairy farm, so the other guys came in, did the evening chores, and so on. So his two buddies at 4 o'clock at quitting time, they realize, you know, I haven't seen Ernesto in hours. And then they realize that the slurry house fans were on. So they went over to investigate, and they found Ernesto in there. And they got a long piece of rope, got it down, got it under his arms, and three men then pulled him out of that cesspool, and he was saved. Didn't smell very good, but he was saved. Well, that's what St. Paul says here too. He says, wretched man that I am, who can save me, who can rescue me from this body of death? Oh, up till now it's all been law, but here comes this marvelous gospel. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're in deep doo-doo if we think that by what we do, we can save ourselves, make ourselves right, perfect ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't try. Don't misunderstand me. As the people of God, we acknowledge that God's law is good and right, and we want to live according to it. How can we do otherwise? But what we recognize is that we're sinful, and that only by our confession and by the absolution of Jesus Christ do we have eternal life. It's not what we do. It's who we know and what he's already done for us. The world is broken. Ernesto could not save himself. It wasn't a thing he could do. And in that same way, St. Paul says, I can't save myself by what I do. And the world sure isn't going to save us. Oh, the world's full of all kinds of philosophies and isms. It's full of all kinds of religious systems. It's full of all kinds of things. But in the final analysis, none of those things are going to save our souls. None of them. It's not possible. They're incapable of doing it because the world is broken and maimed by sin as well. So we come back to what St. Paul comes back to. Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you go out hiking and you fall into quicksand, what's the one thing you should not do if you're in quicksand? Order a pizza? Thank you, Mr. Ferber. You should not try to save yourself. Because the more you frog around in there, the more you get desperate, the more you try to get out of it, the more it sucks you in. Until finally, you disappear under the surface. You fall into quicksand, you make yourself as big and flat as you can, and you wait for rescue. That's about it. And that's what St. Paul is saying in his doo-doo section. He said, you can't rescue yourself. You can't do it by what you do. That's not why we do things. We do things because Jesus has already done it all, and now in him we have eternal life, so we put our trust in him. And we do good things in response to his love, not out of fear. So he says, you can't save yourself, but there's one place you can look. There's one who will rescue you. There's one who loves you, knows you, accepts you, and who makes you a promise that if you put your faith in Jesus, you will have eternal life. And so he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bow your heads and pray with me. Holy Father, Redeemer and Counselor, without you we are lost, sold to sin, enslaved by our sinful nature, and deluded by the religion of the world. Everywhere are those who think that by what they do, they can earn your approval. That's a fool's mission, Lord. when we want to do good, evil is right there with us. So, Lord, we pray with thanksgiving for your gift of salvation. We thank you and praise you and cling to your grace and pray that you would enable us to follow you, not out of fear, but out of love. Lord of the nations, in your mercy, bring to ruin the plans of evil men. And we pray that you would guard and protect the innocent. We pray that you would place your protective hand over our service personnel. And we pray, Father, that you'd safeguard their families in their absence. And Father, we pray for our communicants that as they now receive the body and the blood of their Savior, that they'll be strengthened in their faith, that they'll be assured of the forgiveness Jesus has won for them on the cross, and that they'll be enabled to live your will in their lives in the days to come. Father, we bring all of these things before you, ever aware that we deserve none of your goodness, but we seek it and ask for it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would the congregation please rise, and together we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let me take a moment to invite you personally to join us for worship at Grace. We have two services at 8 and 10:30 each Sunday morning with Sunday school and Bible classes in between. You'll find a warm and loving group of believers at Grace ready to welcome you into our family. If you enjoy these broadcasts or you'd like more information about Grace Lutheran Church, check out our website, mygracelutheran.com. And please join us in person later this morning. We're located at 1787 Klerner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. Hope to see you soon. Meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.